vacation, and we had a lot of leave there. We went into Washington a lot. Washington was dry, as I remember, so we had to go over to Maryland to get anything to drink, and we did our share of it. And
a lot of party.
Lots and lots of partying. Yeah, that was quite a place. I went out around the Capitol and saw the Congress in action, and I enjoyed Washington D.C. I liked it.
Mm-hmm. Did you? Your brother? How is he doing?
Well, he went right into Berlin, and he saw a lot of combat.
Sure.
So he was home before I was. He went in before me and got out before me.
Mm-hmm.
He brought home the most magnificent collection of German ceremonial swords that you would ever want to see, and he still has them. How he ever got them into this country, I don't know, and he doesn't really know. If he does, he didn't ever told me. But he got into all these ceremonial swords that the German officers had, and they're beautiful. He still has them.
Your brother's from Montana too, right?
Oh yeah, from Anaconda.
Oh, did he partake in this interview?
In what?
Sorry. Did he meet you in Washington? Did you?
No.
No. Okay.
No. He got flown back to the States. I think he was in New York, and I think he got discharged up in New York, and got a ticket that was back home.
Okay.
But he had a lot of combat. He was I think he went in on D-Day plus one. Mm-hmm. And he was, when the war ended, he was right in Berlin.
Oh wow. So after you went to St. Louis, I mean, you stayed in St. Louis for how long?
Just about a week.
Only about a week?
Yeah. Oh. Got the process to get discharged.
Okay.
Then I got on a train and came back to Anaconda.
You came straight back to Anaconda?
Yep.
How was that for you?
Oh, it was great.
Yeah?
It was great. Yeah, I enjoyed being home.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of partying.
Was that the first thing you did when you got back home? Party?
Probably, yeah. Well, all my friends were coming home.
Oh, sure.
So we were all getting together.
Yeah. So it was a nice returning home for you?
Yeah, it was. It was great.
Did the community, how was the community for you?
Oh, the community was all with us.
Yeah.
You know, they were all with us. You know, we had the smelter here in Anaconda.
Yep.
There was a lot of deferments. There was a lot of animosity between the people that were born and raised in Anaconda, and what happened was they took a bunch of people out of North Dakota and brought them over here to run the smelter,
mm-hmm.
and then they would be deferred because of being essential to the war effort,
mm-hmm.
and then they would send it back to North Dakota for the farming and for the harvest and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So we called them all boomers, and we and the boomers have quite a go around.
Any interesting stories?
Or just a lot of fights.
Oh, a lot of fights.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, sure. So, you know, back into civilian life, how was that different from your military life?
Well, it was completely different. You were your own boss, and
mm-hmm.
you could do what you wanted to do. You didn't have all the rules and regulations
right.
that you had to live with, and
yep.
you got socializing with people. And
mm-hmm.
I was only about 20. I got married.
Oh, okay. How long? When you got married, how long did that take? Like after you got home, was it shortly after you got home?
Shortly after. Yeah.
Oh, that's good. So, was there anything really difficult about adjusting? adjusting back to the civilian life, or was it a good thing?
Well, I guess, in my recall, it was, we still had a lot of rationing going on,
mm-hmm.
So there was a lot of things you couldn't get. You didn't have much money. I was working up at the smelter here,
okay.
And I think probably making about $4 a day or something.
Mm-hmm.
So I worked there for about a year.
Okay.
And then I decided to go to school. So I went over to Missoula and went to the university.
Oh, okay. Grizzly.
Grizzlies, yeah.
Now that you're obviously out of the service and you've been discharged, what benefits did you receive?
Well, I had a disability. I'd lost part of a finger in a gun explosion.
Oh.
And so I didn't go to school under the GI Bill. I went under what was called Public Law 16, which was the Disability Act. I had a little bit of better benefits, so.
Okay.
And by then I had a child and moved to Missoula and got away from the smelter.
Sure.
And I went to school, and I forget how much. We didn't get very much. We got a few bucks. I think it was about $80 a month or something like that. Lived in some old prefabricated strip housing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a, well, I went to school and I drove, I got a job driving taxi.
Okay.
I drove taxi all the time while I was going to DU.
Okay.
And I did 1 or 2 years of general studies at the U, and then I got into law school.
Oh.
And I had the regular the law school took 3 years, and I was one of a very, very few lawyers that had a law degree, but I never had a bachelor's degree.
Mm-hmm.
I had two or three years of pre-law,
yeah,
and then I got into law school,
mm-hmm.
Without a bachelor's degree.
Mm-hmm.
And in those days, they kind of admitted everybody into law school and then flunked everybody out after they got in there.
Huh.
I think there was 15 of us that went into a summer school. We had summer school then in law school.
Mm-hmm.
And out of the 15, I think there was 3 of us that graduated.
Wow.
But from law. But it was a lot of work.
Sure.
No more partying.
Yeah. So you're in school. Did you keep in contact with the men you served with?
I did, for quite some time, and then, like, happens, you know, you lose track of people, and now I have no idea where any of them would be. There was one guy in New York that I remember his name, Jack Matson. I kept contact with him even during the days I was in the state senate, and then I lost contact with him, and he was the last one.
Oh, okay. Okay. The war's over. You're in school. There's all this talk on communism, Red Scare. But how was your opinion, because you served with the Russians, what was your opinion of the Russians, you know?
Yeah, well, I just kind of, a lot of my feelings about, you know, the horrors of the Russians and the Russian hordes and all that stuff. You know, I had a pretty close relationship with those Russians, and I thought they were better than a hell of a lot of Americans that I knew.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice people.
Okay. You mentioned you had a gun explode in your hand. Mm-hmm. Was there any other accidents or incidences like that aboard your ship? Or
That was the only one with me.
Yeah.
Of course, I guess most of the injuries on our ship were to the hands or the feet.
Okay.
Crushing type of injuries.
Sure.
We had what was called a hedgehog, and that was like a big bomb that was on this on the stern of the ship. And when we'd get a submarine warning, we'd drop off the hedgehogs, and they'd be set for a particular depth. And a lot of hands got caught in them and mangled up in them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we had one officer, I remember I was on watch, and this officer was on watch next to me. Mm-hmm. And he looked over, I'll never forget it, he said to me, never check your gun like this, and he put it to his head and blew his head off.
Wow.
Committed suicide right there.
Huh. That was in front of you?
Yeah, yeah, our ships were tied together. I was on watch on mine, and he was on watch on his, and he had a couple of young sailors with him, and he was a young ensign. I never knew the guy or anything because he was on a different ship.
Right.
It was,
What was that experience? I mean, how did that, what was your reaction?
Like? I think it was complete shock and depression.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Just a real, real difficult incident.
Sure,
but
sure.
I was only about 20 years old. 19, probably about 19 then, 18, 19.
Sure. Understand, seeing that and then, like, you know, talking to your brother who was in D-Day and whatnot, I mean, does it make you, I mean, how did that make you feel? I mean, you know, the emotions are tied to war and guns and whatnot, have you? I mean, how was that impression on you? You know, to know.
Well,
that
I think it impressed me considerably. It left a scar on me. I remember to this day. Remember it vividly.
Sure.
It was a traumatic experience.
Yeah, I believe it.
Let's see what else was I going to tell you there. Well, these were all real different experiences for somebody that grew up in a little town of Montana. You know, it was a harsh reality of life, I guess.
Sure. After all this, what about the war made the biggest impact on you personally in your life?
The biggest things?
That's a good question. Probably the ability to interact with people of other cultures, of other beliefs. I think the Russian experience had a big influence on me.
Sure.
I changed from the active wanting to get involved in war that I had when I went into the service, and later in life, I was very, very proactive in the Vietnam War. I was probably the leading Montanan in opposing the Vietnam War. I went to the Chicago Convention. When Humphrey was nominated,
right,
and I was the only Montana delegate that voted for the peace platform.
Mm-hmm.
I did a lot of speaking around the university, mm-hmm. And around the state. I was a very active in being anti-Vietnam.
Anti-Vietnam.
And led a lot of marches over around Missoula.
Yeah.
Did a lot of speaking on it. A lot of it down in Billings.
Uh-huh. would you, I mean, after, you know, recalling your whole service experience and whatnot, and your brothers and other friends and family you knew that served, would you do it again?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to, but if the need arose, yeah, yeah. I'd go in and fight for my country.
Okay.
I'm anti the war in Iraq. Mm-hmm. But if I was drafted, and if, you know, if I had to go, I'd go.
Okay.
Even though my personal beliefs would be negative.
Sure, sure. Would you encourage family members to join, like voluntarily join the military?
I'd probably discourage them.
Pardon?
I would discourage them.
Discourage them?
Yeah. You know, I think one of the greatest things that happened out of World War II was the GI Bill. There were so many, many people, you know, like me, just from a working family, probably would never have had a chance to go on to college. And I think the thing that moved America forward was the education that we received. I'm a firm believer in education.
Right.
And I think the fact that, that a whole new world was opened up to us was a big positive for America. I think from the GI Bill and the educational opportunities that were granted, this country progressed very rapidly.
Yeah.
I think it was the greatest piece of legislation ever passed.
So that's okay. Well, we're not winding down. So last question I have really is how do you feel about Hollywood's portrayal of the war, of World War II specifically? Like Hollywood, all the movies that have been made on...
Yeah, well, you know, the movies that were made at the time of the war all had a patriotic theme to them.
Right.
And I think that was right. I think that was good. You know, I think it instilled that sense of patriotism into us that we, you know, we never had before. Of course, the World War I's had it, but we didn't really have it.
Sure.
And I think later portrayals, though, have... kind of underplayed the whole thing. I think there's some war pictures that have come out, but I think the television effect of Vietnam. Yeah, I used to tell Senator Mansfield that I thought bringing the war, the Vietnam War, into the living rooms of people was a horrible thing to put the parents of those people, of those young men that were over there fighting. Mm-hmm. I know I wouldn't have wanted my parents sitting watching a TV portrayal of what I went through at that time. It would have scared the hell out of them.
Yeah.
And I think the same is true of the situation in Iraq.
Yeah.
I think even the news on Iraq would be disheartening. Be demoralizing. So I guess from a red-hot pro-war, I became a red-hot anti-war.
Sure. And why specifically your opinion went, from serving in World War II and, you know, to anti-war? I mean, what significantly caused that turnaround? I mean,
I think I became educated.
Educated?
I really do. I think education is the key to the future. And I think as I got educated and matured, I saw the world as a one world, and we've got to learn to live together and work together. And I just don't think we've made much progress in that direction. I think we are still pretty narrow-minded in many aspects of it.
Sure. So, finally, have you ever been back to where you served, or have you ever been to Japan or Europe? In either case, as a veteran, I mean, did you go back to the North Pacific, or have you ever gone to Japan or Germany?
No.
No.
I've traveled a great deal, and I don't think I have, and I know Japanese people and friendly with them.
Yeah.
But I don't think I ever have had any desire to go to Japan. I don't think I would want to go to Japan.
Okay.
I guess I still have some burning thoughts there.
Sure. Sure. All across America, there's huge anti-Japanese sentiment because of their bombing of Pearl Harbor. I mean, it's a pretty big moment in history. How did that affect you? I mean, obviously.
You know, I hadn't given that much thought till you broached the subject, but I think I still probably have some latent prejudice against Japan.
Sure.
More so than I do against Germany.
Okay.
Because of Pearl Harbor.
Okay.
I've been to Pearl Harbor several times.
Okay.
I've even flown the route that the Japanese planes flew when they came in and bombed Pearl Harbor. Very interesting. And you go to, have you been to Hawaii?
Yep.
Have you been to Pearl Harbor?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the number of Japanese, you see, they kind of overwhelms you. At least it did me.
Yeah, it's very true.
Where are you from, by the way?
Where am I from?
Yeah.
Okay, so you guys did, pardon, we're recording.
We did convoy duty, yeah.
Yeah. What kind of convoy duty
did you do? Well, we did convoy duty mainly between Alaska and the Aleutian Islands.
Well, okay.
That'd be us and another ship or two, and we would, in effect, be the escort for the supply ships that were going up into that country.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Oh, that's fine.